So I'd like to start off my homily by saying, you are holy. You are already holy. Your family is a holy family. Your family already is a holy family. Holy means to be set apart. It means to be not profane, not for ordinary use. It means consecrated for a purpose. In this sense, you are set apart from the rest of the world. You are consecrated to God. Your family is not an ordinary family. It belongs to God. So already the fact that you're baptized, you are holy. Already the fact that your family is a Christian family means that your family is holy. So you might say, all right, then Father, why are we here? You know, we're all holy already. You know, let's just close up shop and go home for the day. Not so fast, right? Because there's another sense of the word to holy, meaning, in a sense, we can become holy. We can become more holy. We can become holier. Our families can become holier. We can become more and more consecrated to God. Our families can belong more and more to God. They can be more and more like what God wants us and our families to be. This is what we prayed in that opening prayer, the opening collect. O God, who are pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life and in the bonds of charity, and so in the joy of your house delight one day in eternal rewards. The Church, she gives us this great feast of the Holy Family, not for us just to admire the Holy Family, but to become more like the Holy Family. The Holy Family isn't meant just to be put on a picture or an icon and put on our walls in our homes and just kind of say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, isn't that beautiful? We're called to imitate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Yesterday, following our last Christmas Mass here, I went to my aunt's house for Christmas. And this is because my parents are in Florida visiting my sister and her family. And so amidst my cousins and all their kids and playing with them and them crying and all sorts of different things, I asked my aunt and I asked my cousins who are married and have kids, I said, tomorrow's the Feast of the Holy Family, and I've yet to really put my homily together. So, you know, what would you say if you were preaching on the Holy Family? What would you want to be said about a family and family life? And my aunt said this. She said, marriage, family life will make you a saint. Family, marriage makes you a saint. And mind you, this is coming from one who hasn't had an easy go of it. 5 years ago, no, closer to 7 years ago now, a sheriff showed up to her front door to tell her that her husband, my uncle, Deacon Uncle Jeff, was killed in a car accident. And just a few years ago, her daughter, Kayla, the father of my godson, Javier, was killed, murdered in St. Paul. And so, take to heart what she says. Marriage, family life will make you a saint. And so I said to myself after hearing that, I said, bingo, that's what I want to preach on. Because this is so important for us to understand. We get so focused in on just getting through the days, taking care of the kids, making sure we get our work done. And it's tempting to lose sight of the big picture. It's wrong, but it's common for people to see the big picture for priests and religious. Okay, they're meant to become holy. You know, they're called to be saints. But then we miss the point when it comes to our vocation. That God has called each and every, most of you, to the vocation of marriage. And your family is your way to holiness. It's your means to become a saint. I truly believe there are more saints in heaven who were married and had families than there are who saints who are priests and religious. Obviously not officially recognized or canonized. There's many priests, many religious who are officially recognized. Unfortunately, not as many married people who are officially recognized. But there are more married people in heaven as saints than priests and religious. And I mean this not just ultimately those who are in heaven, right? Because anyone who dies and goes through their purification in purgatory and ends in heaven is a saint. But I actually mean, I believe there are more people who were perfected by the time they died through their vocation as husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, who became saints before they died, than even priests and religious. In fact, I would say, if you aren't in the marriage and family life to make you a saint, then you're in the wrong business. If you're not married, if you don't have a family in order to become a saint, then you are in the wrong business. Because the purpose of marriage and family life is to make you a saint. It's tempting, again, to think we can go through life and the desire is to make everything else, the world better, make other people better. In fact, I have this idea, like, I want to make the world better, right? And I want to go through life and the world and everything I encounter and touch, just turn it to gold, you know, make it better. But in reality, it's the opposite, that everything in life, everything that we encounter, and every person, every responsibility, it's not for us to change or to make better. It's actually meant to transform us, to purify us, to make us holy. It's meant to make me more selfless, to make me more loving, more kinder, more patient, to make me a saint. A priest was once giving a talk, and at the end of the talk, they had some time for question and answer, some Q&A. And a woman raised her hand and asked this priest this question. She said, "Father, how come we don't wear hair shirts anymore? How come we Catholics don't wear hair shirts?" And you might be unfamiliar with what a hair shirt is. A hair shirt was kind of like a vest type thing made out of animal hair that you would wear under your clothes. That would be kind of itchy, scratchy as a way of penance, right? So you'd walk around the day and you'd be uncomfortable. It'd be a way to do penance. And this priest said to this woman, he goes, "Well, for the simple reason that your hair shirt might be sitting right next to you." God gave you your wife to make you a saint. God gave you your husband to make you a saint. God gave you your children to make you a saint. And don't just flip that around right away and say, okay, my job is to make my husband a saint then, or my job's to make my wife a saint. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God has given your husband to you with his strengths, but also with all his imperfections and weaknesses, to make you a saint, to transform you, to make you holy. St. Paul, in our second reading, he gives us a quick blueprint of how that is to happen. He says, quote, "Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." You see right there, he's calling already holy, okay? But it doesn't end there. He says, "Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also do. And over all of these, put on love." That is the bond of perfection. St. Paul continues. He says, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness towards them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, so that they may not become discouraged." Friends, you are holy. Your family is holy. Now get to work. Don't dwell on the past. Even if we have guilt, regrets, okay, that's in the past. We move on. Now you're called to become holy. Now your family is called to become holy. You Your marriage and your family will make you holy if you allow it to. That's the purpose of marriage. That is the purpose of family life, to make you a saint.